Welcome to the Urban Grace Weekly Podcast. Urban Grace is an inclusive ecumenical church in the heart of downtown Tacoma, Washington, that seeks to be a spiritual home for folks from all sorts of backgrounds. Come check us out Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. at the corner of 9th and Market. And of course, there are more details at urbangrace.org.
Good morning. Scripture this morning comes from Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 to 20. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt loses its saltiness, how will it become salty again? It is good for nothing except to be thrown away and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city on top of a hill can't be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a basket. Instead, they put it on top of the lampstand, and it shines on all who are in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before people so they can see the good things you do and praise your Father who is in heaven. Don't even begin to think that I have come to do away with the law and the prophets. I haven't come to do away with them, but to fulfill them. I say to you very seriously that as long as heaven and earth exist, neither the smallest letter or even the smallest stroke of a pen will be erased from the law until everything there becomes a reality. Therefore, whoever ignores the least of these commands and teaches others to do the same will be called lowest in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever keeps these commands and teaches people to keep them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. I say to you that unless your righteousness is greater than the righteousness of the legal experts and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. This is the word of the Lord.
Would you please pray with me? God of love, God of light, we give you thanks for your presence that fills our world and fills our lives, for your spirit that saturates every part of who we are and every part of who you call us to be. And we ask that we will experience your presence and your spirit in your life as we hear your word for us. Amen. The season of Epiphany is the church season that reveals who Jesus is. That's sort of our theme. So we work our way through the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus lays out the most complete picture of his teachings. And last week, we looked at the Beatitudes, where Jesus begins by sharing God's deep care for those that the world has neglected and abused. And this is like a vision of what God's kingdom looks like. And then what comes next are specifics on how to make that a reality. Jesus tells us to follow the law. He says that whoever ignores even a minor law will be the least in the kingdom of heaven. Which is admittedly a little bit strange from a guy who constantly breaks the law. I mean, Jesus forgives people that the law condemns. He eats on the Sabbath. He heals on the Sabbath. And he's about to reinterpret laws around divorce and murder and retaliation and vows. But there's a reason that Jesus is so focused on the law. Well, to start, Jesus is a Jew. If he gets rid of the law, he's basically saying, all the things that you know about following God are wrong. Either the word of God has changed, or worse, the word of God should have never been trusted in the first place. If Jesus says the law doesn't matter, he has no ground to stand on. But even more than that, I believe Jesus told people to follow the law because he loves the law, because the law helps us love people. Jesus loves the law, but he's not so wild about the way people are following the law. People are following the law because following the law makes them righteous, rather than following the law because the law is an expression of love. Sometimes we call this following the letter of the law instead of following the spirit of the law. It's like when I see those signs in a parking lot that say reserved for green vehicles, and then I think, well, my 22-year-old SUV is the color green. Guess I can park here. Which is actually sort of like doubly bad because I'm colorblind. And everyone tells me my truck is brown, but I see green, and I know that spot was meant for me. But where were we? Following the law. Jesus was upset because the Pharisees put so much significance on perfectly following the law that they forgot the loving intent behind the law. Because, you know, laws have purpose. Laws enforce values. Values are usually big ideas like kindness, respect, equality. But values are hard to maintain, and values are particularly hard to enforce. So we create laws that uphold our values. If we have, for example, if we have the value of kindness, we might make a law that says no stealing or no lying. It's pretty basic stuff. But sometimes our laws betray the values they were created to uphold. Sometimes our laws hurt those they seek to protect, which seems to be a lot of what Jesus was focusing on in the Sermon on the Mount. For example, Jesus starts teaching, right after this section, Jesus starts teaching on marriage and divorce. And the Hebrew Bible allowed men to divorce their wives, but it actually made divorce much more difficult than the surrounding societies in the ancient Near East. In Levitical law, there were all these rules. Like, there had to be a trial, and men could be disqualified. If a man had made a false accusation in the past of infidelity, then he could no longer have a divorce. Which, in short, these laws provided more protection for women than had there been no rules. But 1,300 years later, when Jesus is speaking, things have changed. When a woman was divorced, she was completely disgraced. She couldn't work, and she had to remarry, but no one would remarry a divorced woman. So when a man used the law to issue a divorce, he was effectively destroying a woman's life. That law that allowed divorce was no longer serving the purpose of protecting the vulnerable. So in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says not to divorce or not to remarry, because divorce was hurting the most vulnerable people. Jesus challenges people to follow the law in ways that bring hope to the hopeless, liberation to the oppressed, and restoration to the outcast. This is how Jesus fulfills the law, where he says, I didn't come to abolish, I didn't come to destroy the law, I came to fulfill it. What he's doing is recentering the law on the most vulnerable. It's the same thing that Jesus does in the Beatitudes, reminding us that God's kingdom should serve the marginalized. Jesus even goes on to break the law in service of the marginalized. In chapter 13 of Luke, Jesus enrages the Pharisees by healing a woman in the synagogue on the Sabbath. This is against the law. But this woman had been crippled for 18 years. And Jesus knew the laws were meant to serve those in need, not harm them. And for a lot of us, this might be what we like the most about Jesus. We love that Jesus is willing to break the law, to serve, to follow the highest intent of the law. We love that Jesus fulfills the law by protecting the vulnerable. We love that Jesus will take on the religious authorities. So I'm guessing that most of us are probably fine with Jesus breaking the law. But we might feel less comfortable when we interpret Scripture in the same way. Just sort of like in general, Christians get queasy when other Christians say that we don't need to do exactly what the Bible says. And I get that queasiness, especially because of that line that we had in our scripture today. Whoever ignores the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called the lowest in the kingdom of heaven. But then again, Jesus doesn't seem to follow every little law, so what do we do? Do we follow what Jesus says or follow what Jesus does? Is it okay for us to reinterpret Scripture in the same way Jesus does? Can we break the letter of the law to follow the spirit of the law? Yes. Absolutely. Without a doubt, yes. Our interpretation of Scripture has to keep up with our capacity for moral deliberation. The reason that Scripture provides rules and instructions about behavior is to help us love God and love our neighbor. The point of the law was never simply compliance. I mean, right after this verse, Jesus says, "Unless your righteousness is greater than that of the Pharisees, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven." And if Jesus meant that, if Jesus thought righteousness meant compliance, if he thought righteousness meant following every little rule, then this would be impossible. Because the Pharisees devoted their life to following every little law. And Jesus wants us to do better than that. And then Jesus shows us how. By constantly reinterpreting the law so that the law serves those Jesus wants us to bless, the poor and hopeless and harassed, right? And if the law is not doing that, if it's not blessing the poor and the hopeless and the harassed, then it's failed to serve its purpose, and it has to be reimagined. If we can't reimagine what God's love looks like in a changing world, I think it will destroy our humanity. Years ago, I was in a class on the book of Ephesians, and the book of Ephesians has a line in it about slaves obeying their masters. And the professor went on to explain all of the reasons that this was not a scripture that we should actually follow. And I was sitting right next to a particularly conservative student, and he raised his hand and got this sort of intense look on his face, like he was upset, and I braced myself for like the cringiest slippery slope argument I'd ever heard. But that wasn't what happened at all. The student just said, can we be honest and say that it doesn't matter what the Apostle Paul intended? Every one of us knows that slavery is wrong. And if we had to choose between following Scripture and denouncing slavery, we would denounce slavery. It doesn't matter what Scripture says. I know slavery is wrong. And I think he was frustrated because we weren't just like naming what we actually believed down deep. That Jesus taught us to love people. And if we're taught to love people and then supposed to subordinate that to what we know love looks like, it will crush who we are. It will degrade our humanity. And Jesus consistently challenged people to follow the law in ways that bring hope to the hopeless, liberation to the oppressed, and restoration to the outcast. So our interpretation of Scripture has to live up to that challenge. And I also want to pause for a second and say this can be scary. Like, I know when I first started thinking seriously about how we interpret Scripture, I read through it and I was like, oh, we got stuff to deal with. We have to reinterpret this, in part because I had long hair like this and I read this verse about how men couldn't have long hair. But that my recognition that we need to be reimagining and reinterpreting Scripture terrified me, because I've been told over and over that Scripture was holy and I was supposed to follow it. So if you have some anxiety about this, I want to say that's totally normal, and I want to share just a little bit more perspective. Like, as long as the church has existed, it has followed this model of reinterpreting Scripture in ways that bring hope to the hopeless, liberation to the oppressed, and restoration to the outcast. I think we see this the most clearly in chapters 8 through 10 of the book of Acts. This is right after the early church has started. And we're sort of getting to see who they will be. And then the apostles start reinterpreting the law by welcoming Samaritans in the church, then welcoming a castrated man into the church, and then welcoming Gentiles who don't keep kosher into the church. In each case, this was a violation of the letter of the law, but it brought hope to the hopeless, liberation to the oppressed, restoration to the outcast, and it recentered their focus on those that Jesus had told them to bless. This is what the church has done consistently throughout her existence. So to go back to our earlier example of divorce and remarriage, we saw how Mosaic law attempted to protect vulnerable women by making divorce really difficult. And when that sort of was relaxed and got abused, Jesus made it even more difficult, again, to protect the vulnerable. And things are different today, but the church still follows that same spirit of the law. Because when we get down to it, Jesus was telling men to be selfless and gracious by not divorcing their wives, despite whatever hardship or conflict they were going to. And today, particularly the Protestant church, recognizes that divorce is a reality of modern life. So when someone is going through this incredibly difficult and painful time, the church should be a place of grace who provides opportunities for new life. 2,000 years ago, remarriage wasn't really a possibility. But today, remarriage can be a wonderful celebration of God's redemptive grace, of new life in times of despair. It's essentially two different ways to uphold the same values of protecting the vulnerable and providing grace and hope. It's the same process that leads us to welcome women and queer folks and all of the ways that we see that sometimes our rules don't serve those in need. And it's tricky stuff. In some ways, it'd probably be easier if Jesus just said, follow the rules, left it at that. But he didn't. He said, this matters a lot. And then he reinterpreted the law, either in his words or as in his actions. To Jesus, this is a sign the law matters. That it's something worth wrestling with. It's worth interpreting and reinterpreting. Again, because Jesus consistently challenged people to follow the laws in ways that bring hope to the hopeless, liberation to the oppressed, and restoration to the outcast. Jesus held this this creative tension, with this deep love and respect for the tradition and the holy wisdom passed down to him, and his desire and his inspiration to change and adjust that tradition in the direction of deeper love of God and one another. And I think that's still the challenge before us. And I'm about to close, but I have just a couple of quick thoughts for as we do that. And the first is that this is sacred work, which means it requires humility and community. As we seek to learn from Scripture and reinterpret Scripture, we have to remember we are not creating new law. Whatever we do will be imperfect. So the work is never done. Jesus is always out ahead of us, calling us beyond our comfort zones to reevaluate what we take for granted. And this means that we need one another. We need community to support one another, to call out our biases, and to help us see how we recenter our focus on those who Jesus taught us to bless. This wrestling and reevaluating is holy work. It's essential work. And maybe that's what I want to leave us with, that we're invited, even now, to draw from the riches of thousands of years of spiritual tradition as we come together and let these words of life transform our lives. Amen.